It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Pastor Keith Manley, and this week we've been doing a teaching of the small little book of 2 Peter found in the New Testament. Simon Peter wrote two books to the church. This is his second epistle, and today we're on the last chapter, chapter 3. He begins with verse 1 by saying, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." Now, we know that all Scripture is God-breathed, so the Scripture doesn't come from man's idea to communicate, but it's God's idea to communicate with man. And yet, Peter gives the reason for this letter. He says, "I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." Our mind is the battleground where we fight spiritual warfare today. And Peter is reminding us here that his purpose behind writing this letter, which was God's purpose as well, was to stimulate us to have wholesome thinking. The Bible speaks of casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Charles Spurgeon once said, "The purest minds need stirring up at times. It would be a great pity to stir up impure minds. That would only be to do mischief, but pure minds may be stirred as much as you please, and the more, the better." In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, the writer of Hebrews said, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Peter goes on in verse 2 and he says, "I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets, and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." Yesterday, we dealt with Peter's rebuke of the false prophets and the false teachers that were invading the culture and the church, and he warned us against those. But now in chapter 3, he's encouraging us to dive into Scripture, to get into the book that will change our lives as we read the writings of the prophets and the apostles. He's letting us know the apostles and the prophets, these were not just missionaries or pastors or someone that God sent along to preach. No, these were inspired men that penned the words of God, the very words that give us life and light in the middle of all the darkness that we see in this world today. And not only the words from the prophets and the apostles, but he said the command given by our Lord and Savior. What could that command be? I believe that was the command Jesus gave us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Verse 3 here of 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, "First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires." Now, you might be thinking today, Keith, when is the last days? Well, actually, the Bible tells us the last days actually began on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago when Peter stood up and he preached that sermon and he said, "This is that which Joel prophesied. In the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh." So the last days technically began when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. But I believe we are living in that time period that the Bible refers to as the last days, preparing for the day of the Lord, the final day, when God returns to this earth to judge the living and the dead. He says here, "You must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires." I would certainly say that we're in an age where secular humanism has risen its ugly head, scoffing against the church, denying the validity of God's word, of being absolute truth. They follow their own evil desires, Peter says. Now he goes on in verse 4 and he says, "They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." Isn't it funny that Peter gives a prophecy here saying that in the end times, people will actually scoff, saying to the church, where is this coming of Jesus that you've prophesied and spoke of for so long? When is he coming? I know there are many people who have different theories regarding the second coming of Jesus Christ. But on May 14, 1948, when Israel became a nation, God sent a signal to the world that we entered the final generation before Jesus returns. He said Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gave us one sign after another that points to his soon return. Nation would rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes and famines in diverse places. Friend, I know my entire life I have heard the message that Jesus is coming, but it just lets me know we're that much closer, that much closer. And the prophecies that are being fulfilled today, they're pointing to the soon return of Jesus Christ. The one world government system that we see in the book of Revelation and the mark of the beast, boy, if we didn't see that groundwork being laid for that during the COVID pandemic, I don't know what to think. Peter goes on in verse 5, though, and he says, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So Peter is telling the church here, don't scoff and say, where is the sign of his coming? Why is he delaying? Where is Jesus? Because he's going to go on and tell us in verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Now, you might think there he's saying that to just say, God's not in a hurry, but I think there's something deeper with that. I think there's a biblical concept that we can see here through the statement Peter made. He's talking here about a principle where with God, a day is like 1,000 years. Now, we know there are 7 days in the week, right? 6 days where we work, and a seventh day is a Sabbath, a day of rest. It's interesting that from the time of Adam until the time of Noah, where God first poured out his wrath, it was 2,000 years. And then God sent a flood, destroying the earth. His cup of wrath was full, and he destroyed the earth by water. From the time of Noah until the time of Jesus, when he hung up on the cross, it was 2,000 years, or in Peter's words, 2 days. And God once again poured out his wrath, but this time he poured it out upon his son, where he paid the penalty for all of our sins. Did you know from the time of the cross, which was around AD 30, until right now, it has been almost 2,000 years in the year 2025, or 2 more days. And once again, God is going to pour out his wrath, and Peter makes it clear, this time it won't be by water, but it'll be by fire. You know what's interesting? That adds up to 6 days. And on God's calendar, then there must come a day of rest. When we study the Bible, we find out that after the 6,000 years of civilization, there will be a 1,000-year millennium reign where Christ will rule and the lion will lay down by the lamb. It's interesting that Barnabas wrote an epistle. It's not found in our Bibles because it's not a part of the canonization of Scripture. But Barnabas said in his epistle that he felt the earth would last 6,000 years and then there would be a millennium reign. Now, I don't give it the same credence as I do the book of Isaiah or the book of Matthew or Peter's writings here that we're reading today. But it does make you stop and think, friend, we are living in the final days before Christ is going to return to this world. It's a topic that I love. I love teaching the book of Revelation, and maybe at some point we will do some of that on Fresh Oil. So he says, don't forget this one thing. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And I love what Peter says in verse 9. He says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. As some understand slowness, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Why has God waited so long to send his son back? Because he's patient. He doesn't want any of his creation to perish, and so he's patient. Verse 10, however, begins with that word, but. He's patient, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. I don't know if you've ever been the victim of a thief. I have. I've had the thief break into my home and steal my computers and steal various items, and it's a real horrible feeling. It's something that catches you off guard, and you go, if I'd only known, I would have been home at the time. I would have had my gun, or I would have defended my property. But Peter's telling us here, the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief. The world is not going to be expecting it. It's interesting because even though Peter brings out that the day of the Lord will come like a thief, Paul brings out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 4, he says, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day, referring to the day of the Lord, should surprise you like a thief. It's not going to catch you like a thief, Paul says. He says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So when Christ comes, it won't catch us by surprise. He won't come like a thief for his church, just for the world. Imagine how shocking it will be when the heavens disappear with a roar, the elements of this earth are destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will one day be laid bare. Jesus is coming back to bring judgment upon the world and to bring redemption for his saints. Peter writes in verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So Peter is saying, as the church, we're not to be afraid of the second coming of Jesus. We're to actually look forward to it and speed its coming. However you do that, I don't know how you're going to rush him. He's coming when he comes, and no man knows the day or the hour, only the Father, which is in heaven. He says that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Isn't that incredible, friend? God's going to make a brand new heaven and a brand new earth, and we get to experience that as he reigns here on this earth. And then he closes out in verse 14. He begins by saying, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some heavy things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Now let's close out. Therefore, verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. What a great book, the book of 2 Peter, as we've covered it verse by verse, right here on Fresh Oil. God richly bless you, my friend. Walk in grace and always remember, God loves you. He really does.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional. He makes his mercies new every morning.